It is okay to mourn the loss. Hey there, my sweet warriors. If you're new here, welcome. This is your place to get real advice and tips on how to navigate life after conquering domestic abuse. When we lose a loved one, we give ourselves the grace to mourn them, their memory, and the hole that death has left in our lives. It is understood by society that we have that right and that need. The pain of loss can feel overwhelming. You may experience all kinds of difficult and unexpected emotions, from shock or anger to disbelief, guilt, and profound sadness. Any loss triggers the grieving process. We share a life with this person. We had dreams and hopes for our lives with this person. But before we go any further, I would like to ask you to please like, share, and subscribe so that these messages can get to a broader reach. People have relationships end all the time. So what's the big deal? Well, any loss, no matter how big or small, triggers a grief process. And a person does not have to die for you to feel grief. You may have been living with someone for a year or have been married for 20 years. If that relationship was a significant one, you are likely going to feel a variety of emotions when it ends. Much like how it feels to grieve a death. And exactly like when someone we loved passed on, there are stages of grieving, both in death and in a breakup. The following are Dr. Kubler-Ross's stages of grief applied to a breakup. Stage 1, denial. In this phase, your heart, rather than your head, rules our belief system as we try to adjust the ideal of life without that person that we're losing. Even though we know the relationship is over, we really don't believe it. Against the better judgment of everyone around us, we can help but to entertain fantasies of things somehow working out. We see hidden glimmers of hope buried in clear indications that it's over. Unsurprisingly, this is a phase where we are most susceptible to late night texting. Phase 2, anger. Anger can manifest in so many different ways. Anger at your ex. How could he do this to me? Why can't she stop being selfish? Anger at God or the universe. Why can't anything ever work out for me? Why am I cursed? Anger at people or situations associated with the breakup. Anger at the other woman. Anger that your partner lost her job, because that is when she changed. And anger at other people who don't agree or stand with your anger. Can you believe George and James still want to be friends with him after what he did to me? This is the phase where we think it's a great idea to tell anyone and everyone how crazy or psycho our ex was. This is also when we think it's crucial to send our ex hateful emails, because we don't want him to think he got away with anything. And phase 3, bargaining. Bargaining often goes hand in hand with denial. Bargaining can be looking for any possible way to make that relationship work through negotiation, threats, and or magic. For example, telling your ex that you will change or move or go to therapy, or telling him he is hurting the children, his family, his friends, the dog by leaving. And of course, this phase is not only limited to bargaining with your ex. Many people bargain with the powers that be, promising to be a better person if only the ex will come back. During this stage, you may take a new interest in astrology, tarot cards, or any type of voodoo that will forecast a reunion. This is also when we attempt to enlist our friends and family to talk some sense into them. Phase 4, depression. Depression, like anger, also surfaces in many different forms. For example, feeling tired all the time, not wanting to do anything but laying in bed, feeling disconnected from people, even when you're with them, being on the verge of tears most of the time, trouble sleeping, or sleeping too much, loss of appetite, or overeating, increase in drug or alcohol use, and the big one, hopelessness. Hopelessness is the most pervasive and debilitating. It is the thing that leads us to believe that nothing will ever be or feel different than it is right now. Hopelessness makes you feel like you will never move on and that nothing will ever work out for you in the future. And finally, number 5, acceptance. Finally, in this phase, in which we are able to make peace with the loss, it doesn't always come on suddenly. It often happens gradually, bit by little bit, interspersed with some of the other phases. Acceptance doesn't always involve harmony and flowers. There is almost certain to be lingering sadness. Acceptance entails making peace with loss, letting go of the relationship, and slowly moving forward with your life. Sometimes it feels like this phase will never come, which usually means you're still struggling in an earlier phase. Knowing your phases of grief can help normalize your breakup experience. It's also important to know that there is no time limit and no rushing the process. Grieving is like digestion. There is nothing you can do to hurry it along. It takes time, and the only thing you can do is try to get through it. But take heart in the fact that this, like everything else, will eventually pass. The takeaway from this video is, it is okay to hurt and to mourn after a relationship has ended. However, it is not okay to stay there. If you start having thoughts of hurting yourself or someone else, or if you just can't shake the blues, then it is time for you to reach out for help. Contact your primary care physician, your pastor, a friend, a counselor, or reach out to a hotline. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline phone number is 1-800-273-8255. And lastly, the greatest help to get through something like this is to lean on your faith and to have God by your side. Call out to Him, ask Him for your help, and He will be there. Keep reaching for help. Know that there are phases to this and that you will get through this. And also that you are not in this alone.